This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Been There, Done That, another in the Joy History program. With me today in the studio, we have...
Gordon.
Good afternoon, Gordon.
Chris.
And young Phil.
That's me. Called Fabulous Phil on Wednesdays. I don't know what I am on Mondays.
Oh, you can be Fabulous Phil today.
I'm feeling less fabulous generally on a Monday.
Oh, all right then. and Tristan.
Hey, guys.
That would be terrific, Tristan.
Terrific, Tristan. Yes, we get the aura of the terrific.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much indeed to Scott for the morning show, for Tim for the news, for Lance at the desk, now to be taken over by Julia. Thank you very much for being here. Julia, our podcaster.
Yes, she's a wonderful lady, is our Julia. She does a wonderful job.
Now,
just
what
do you think of a rhyming name for Julia?
Oh,
Jovial Julia.
I was going to say jealous, but that's not right.
Oh, golly gosh. I've been doing a little bit of genealogy on the weekend.
Genealogy? Where do you come from?
Oh, well, exactly.
You're French, yes, we know that.
Well, no. This was, in fact, my mother's side of the family, and I just found a couple of people who are on that tree who are alive and well in Melbourne, so I'm going to go and
that you didn't know them.
Suck their brains dry.
You didn't know them? Never met them?
Well, no, that's right. So, you know, the old reincarnation sort of thing.
Well, that happens all the time with the family trees, doesn't it? You start with somebody and it grows down and that's the way it works, you know. And somebody that's having a birthday does that.
Oh, yes. Well, Vincent Minnelli is having a birthday on the 28th of February, 1903. He was born, not with us anymore.
Of course.
In his own spirit. No. However, him being a gay man...
Who married a gay icon.
Well, yes.
Yes.
They had an interesting set of progeny.
That's right, yes. They had one called Liza.
Oh, They did, Minnelli, yes.
And the other one she had a sister was...
Lorna.
Lorna from Lofts, Judy married Lofts. So they're half-sisters.
So who was Vincent Minnelli's wife?
Judy Garland.
No, Dorothy.
Dorothy?
The genuine Dorothy. Genuinely a friend of Dorothy.
Oh, right.
So much so he married her.
He married her, yeah. She clicked her ruby slippers and away they went.
Oh, that's interesting that, in fact, you can start to trace family lines in the entertainment world.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think there's been a little bit of channeling as well.
Well, of course, because we have our wonderful wonderful Trevor Ashley, who does a wonderful show about Liza. Liza on an E, and Liza and my back is broken.
Yes.
But they're actually appearing... I've seen in the paper that Trevor's with Rhonda Birchmore in a show called Twins.
Oh.
And they said, you can't tell the difference.
But the Liza's back was a really good ad because said, Liza's back.
Is broken.
Is broken.
Yeah, but Vincent Minnelli made wonderful, wonderful musicals. He was a musical specialist making all these wonderful musical shows.
A gay man that liked musicals.
It's surprising,
he was a trendsetter, wasn't he?
Yes, he really descended. Yes, yeah. But the stuff that he produced was very, very well received because he was there in the time when the world was not a very happy place.
And
they would make all these wonderful, wonderful musicals in Hollywood to lift everybody's spirits. And this is what they did.
The term they would have used is to make everybody gay and happy.
Gay and happy, yeah, that's right, but not...
Like the Flintstones.
But now they don't want anybody to be gay.
Well, it depends who they are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But this is what the Hollywood thing was at the time, to make everybody, because there was the war on and there was all this was going
the
on.
The Depression, yeah.
The Depression, after the Depression into the war. And they made all these wonderful, wonderful, happy movies just to make everybody feel good. But they put some great dramas in as well, like there were some great great dramatic actresses like Stanwyck and Betty Davis and I see where they just died, Harper Lee.
Yeah.
And that wonderful, wonderful thing with Gregory Peck playing Atticus Finch in the movie of To Kill a Mockingbird.
If I can jump in quite early, Benina, with a Simpsons reference.
Yes.
Homer read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Did he?
And was very disappointed, and he came out with no further knowledge on how to kill a mockingbird at all.
Poor Homer.
There were no instructions at all.
No instructions at all.
Oh, golly gosh. Yeah, well, I hope he did learn something from it, nevertheless. Oh, well.
Yeah, but that shows your family trees.
We
started discussing your family tree. We went on to Mr. Minnelli's.
Well, thank you very much. Well, okay. Well,
some branch out and some just get rooted.
That's right. Hello. I think we better let it go and let Carlos Gallardo get on with it.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
You're with Chris Gordon, Phil, Tristan here on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that is the program. And we've just had an event over the weekend that one or two of you might have been at and done it.
I had actually a dark night. I was asleep.
Oh.
I didn't have a white knight to come and rescue me.
Did you have the Dark Knight that had his arms and legs chopped off by Monty Python?
That's right, yeah. But nothing.
It's just a flesh wound.
Just a flesh wound, yes.
We are talking about the event that happened overnight Saturday night, when a lot of city buildings were lit up with coloured lights and imagery projected onto the outer skin of the building. It was an opportunity for the citizens of Melbourne to go and see their city in a completely different light.
As I said to Phil, to Paul on the radio yesterday morning, bread and circuses. It's what the Caesars gave to keep the population happy.
They did what?
That's they gave them bread and circuses. But we can talk about that a bit later. But we're talking about White Knight at the moment.
Well, you know, that's almost like the French,
Napoleon.
Louis, he gave them cake, didn't he?
That's right. That was supposed to be Marie Antoinette, but she never actually said it.
No.
But the White Knight was, a lot of people liked it, a lot of people didn't like it. The way it was set up this year, they thought it was pretty awful. But they had two of the main buildings that they showed on television. One was the exhibition building up the road here.
Oh, the World Heritage
Listed building.
Which, if you think of it, it was built for exhibitions.
That's right.
So it might as well be one.
And they had Aboriginal art on that. They had these two Aboriginal artists worked with the lighting man, and they did. It was all Aboriginal.
Yeah.
Which was, look, I only saw it on the television, but I would have liked to have been there to see it. I believe it was quite stunning. And the other one was on the front of the NGV, the National Gallery of Victoria. And that was, according to the man that produced it, that was changed every 12 minutes.
Right. Now, that's the great big grey stone building.
With the water wall.
With the water wall.
Just and the moat.
And the moat, indeed, with the pennies in it. And it was actually as a wall surface, it was without features and a good place on to which to project colours and imagery.
That's right, yeah. It's a wonderful building for that because it's a lovely flat surface and they can get great visuals from it, moving visuals, which it can't do on buildings that have got columns and all sorts of rest of it. So with a flat surface, they could get this flowing picture going. But
every 12 minutes it refreshed.
Yeah, it refreshed itself. It just kept playing every 12 minutes.
And they were hoping the audience would do so also.
Yeah, well, this is why the idea was once you've seen it, you would move along to see something else or go down to over to the park. There was something in the park and you'd go to Birrarungma and there was a dance floor over there or something or other.
The whole thing was organised by the Projectionist Union.
Was that what it was?
They've been replaced by robots in suburban theatres.
That's right, yes.
So they have to come here one day a year and project all night.
But being on the outside of the gallery is not the only thing. But if you go into the inside of the gallery, there's an exhibition on there, and it's the Andy Warhol and Wei Wei the Chinese artist.
Now, Chinese artist, he's got a whole collection of bicycles hanging from the ceiling.
Something about 1,000 of them or something, rather.
How much do they weigh?
I don't know how much they weigh, but they can...
Are they way up high?
They're very, very high, but you can't ride them. They're stuck.
Well, that's a bit like bikes in China.
That's right, yes.
Nowhere to ride them.
Oh, don't you believe it. Have you been to China? You get bikes everywhere.
On your bike.
On your bike, yeah. But
and the other part of the exhibition currently on at the NGV is from a gay fellow.
Yeah, Andy Warhol.
Oh,
yeah.
He's gay?
Yeah, he's gay. Yeah, he died on the 22nd today. 22nd
yes.
of February.
He baked in 1987. Yes.
And
he's most famous for advertising Campbell's soup.
That's right. And telling everybody that they had 15 minutes of fame.
And as it's turned out?
We don't. We do.
Well, we pretty well do. You make your own fame. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah. We have it once a week here on Been There, Done That, don't we?
Yeah. Well, this is a type of fame. It's more infamous than famous.
We have had a wonderful, wonderful message.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Good afternoon, gents. Thank you, Phil, for the Simpsons reference. You have made my day. I am now officially middle-aged as my 50th birthday was yesterday. Oh, Nina, happy birthday for yesterday.
Indeed, dear. Look, thank you.
We should sing happy birthday, but we don't sing very well.
No, you say sing happy birdie to yous.
That's what it is, isn't it?
With little birdies and sheep.
Right. Oh, right.
Okay, we hope you had a wonderful day yesterday.
No, it was hippo birdie to use, sorry.
Yes, that's right.
And we can't sing it because we might have to pay royalties.
Yeah, to those lovely ladies that live in Florida that own it. Or no, they don't own it now. They sold it to one of the recording companies. Yeah, so there you go.
Congratulations, Nina, on that. But
yes,
one of the other buildings that was lit up was the State Library.
They were inside as well. They not only did the outside, they did the inside as well. You could go inside, apparently, to see that. That was another part that they had on telly last night.
Yeah.
I've only seen it on telly because I had to be up at 4:30 on Sunday morning to do a radio program.
Yes.
So I don't go out on Saturday nights. It's one of those things that I went out one Saturday night and the show didn't finish until 12 o'clock, so I had about 2 hours sleep and I felt like rubbish the next morning.
Yeah.
You know.
But just because White Night's over doesn't mean that you can't go and see these buildings and especially the interiors of these buildings.
Yeah, I have only been to the State Library once. I went up there for an exhibition that they had in a smaller hall on the side. There's a smaller gallery sort of thing on the side. And I went up there and I just wandered around in the big reading room and it's the first time I'd ever been in there. It's a magnificent room.
It's a huge domed space.
Yeah.
It's so lovely and quiet without anybody's going hush, hush.
Yeah, but surprisingly enough, it's such a light space now because all those windows in the dome, which we can see from the window here, they were all covered. They were covered with copper because they said that the rain was getting in or something rather, so they covered them all over, so it was all dark.
Ugh.
And it's only been in the last 10 years or so that they've opened it when they did the refurbishment of the library. But they've also, if you go to the library, they've got a great gallery at the back. You go through the reading room and there's another huge gallery at the back with some original artworks that were purchased like in 1800s and all that sort of thing. Huge stuff. Absolutely beautiful. You don't realise...
Well, that used to be the old museum.
That's right.
So there's a lot of space there which became somewhat free.
But that gallery there, the artwork that's in there is just absolutely amazing.
Oh, brilliant.
But you've just got to go through the thing and out to...
See, it's the hidden parts of Melbourne, of our city, that we don't ordinarily connect to.
And we've got these great buildings because of the gold.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we've got all these wonderful town halls and big buildings like the State Library and everything. It's all because of the gold. We were lucky that way. That's why you've got all these huge suburban town halls.
Town halls.
Have you noticed the monument outside the library?
It's underneath
the library melded into the concrete surface. And that's because the final scene of the movie.
About the monkeys. Yeah. We'll think about it.
I should write these things down before I had the thought.
you didn't know we were going to talk about it.
No, but it basically was the end of the world.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And Melbourne was the last place to have...
Oh, you mean on the beach?
On the beach, yes.
On the beach, yes.
And the State Library is where you went and got your pill.
That's right.
To take you away.
That's right.
Oh,
and
really?
Ava Gardner said they couldn't have picked a better place to film The End of the World.
Well, she wasn't very nice.
Well,
in fact, if you'd asked her if she wanted to come back to Melbourne, she wouldn't use the title of our next track.
Yeah, baby.
Which is...
But we don't say that in an Austin Powers accent.
Because we can't do it as well as Austin.
No, that was very naughty. But Elliot Brown is the artist, and you can start firing that off, I think, Mr.
Well, you're not going to tell us anything about Mr. Brown?
No, because there's a... Yeah, he's an out and proud Sydney-based independent singer-songwriter. It's Elliot Brown, and here it is. Yep, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Enjoy.
Ethel Chop here. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil, Chris and Tristan here on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that. It's a program and we really appreciate your company with us today. Makes a little bit of a break between morning music and afternoon music.
Yes.
I'm not sure who's going to be in this afternoon, whether it's going to be Warren or whether it's going to be Joe.
Because we have very musical voices as well.
When you say we, you're talking about us.
No, but I was coming up Swanson Street today, coming to work, and they've left the monkey up on the town hall, the big gold monkey, because they put it up there because it's the year of the monkey.
Oh, the Chinese year of the monkey, yes. And there's so many tourists around, so they would appreciate that.
Yes, I'm sure they would, but whether they get the inference or not about it being the year of the monkey, because not everybody follows the Chinese zodiac scale, I think.
Well, as long as they don't think that that's part of the zoo and monkeys living inside the town hall.
Well, they might be monkey business in the town hall.
They might be. What was the name of that big movie where the fellow climbed up the Empire State Building?
What, King Kong?
King Kong, yeah, they might
think
it's
King Kong. That wasn't a fella, that was a gorilla.
They might think that's King Kong.
And that also happened in The Simpsons.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, here comes
Homer was the gorilla.
Here comes another one for you, Nina.
Just in case I don't have one next week. No, but, yeah, Homer climbed to the top holding Marge in his hand and swatting the biplanes as they flew by. And it's all real. It's based on true events.
True events. Oh, yes. Yeah, but a lot of people believe that the year of the monkey is going to be a very lucky year.
A lucky year?
A lucky year. And a lot of people follow.
But aren't all the signs are luck? Well, they have luck involved.
Well, they do. It depends whether you're. It's like all these things that
Chinese
on.
Have fortune cookies.
Oh, they have fortune cookies.
Things.
Yes, my last fortune cookie.
I've got some bad news.
Uh oh.
The fortune cookie was developed in San Francisco.
Yes, that's right.
Oh no.
In Chinatown.
In Chinatown.
It's not Chinese as such.
Okay.
You don't. When you have your meal in Shanghai, you don't have Chinese fortune cookies. They don't have them there.
Oh shucks.
Yes. So there you go.
That's you spoiled that for me. Phil.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
You.
It's just one of the unfortunate facts I have in my head.
But a lot of people look forward to certain years because they know that they're good years for them. Mm. Like my partner's a monkey. And I'm a rat.
Oh.
And the monkeys and rats go very well together.
Do they?
Because the rats pick the fleas out of the monkeys.
No, they don't.
I don't know.
Apparently the rats, according to my boyfriend, the rats are down on the ground getting everything, keeping everything nice and tidy and saving the money and getting the food in and doing all the rest of it. And
Has he ever met a rat? They're not very tidy creatures.
Well, and then the monkeys are swinging around in the trees having a bloody good time. And that's what he likes doing, so therefore. But,
oh, okay. Then.
Yeah, so, but it's funny. He used to be very, very fond of going to the casino.
Oh, yeah?
And I've stopped him of that.
Oh, right.
Because you never win at these places. And I explained to him how the owner of the place is a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
And that's all your money that's making him a multi-billionaire, plus everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually he has stopped going to casinos and poker machines, so I've stopped him of that, which is rather
casinos
good.
Aren't paid for by paying out prizes.
No, neither
and,
any
and
of
Las
those
Vegas
machines.
Doesn't have the nickname Lost Wages.
No.
For just coincidental reasons.
No. Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. But I can remember going over to the, I was on my way to the gambling casino outside Hong Kong, the island.
Macau.
Macau, that's the one. I went to the Macau casino on a boat, ferry boat going down there, and I was talking to two ladies from America whose husbands were into insurance, banking and all the rest of it, and they said, what are you going to do when you get to the casino? I said, I'll just play the poker machines. No, honey, don't play the poker machines. They're rigged against you. Come play blackjack with us. I didn't because I didn't know how to play blackjack. So
I was down on a dairy farm in Gippsland, and a farmer came up and said, where's Macau? I said, he's in the shed. And he said, they're allowed to bet in the next town because he saw a car sticker that said, free to bet.
So Thank you, Phil. That is, you've had your dose of good luck, listener. Yeah. There you are.
But somebody that had very good luck was a bloke named John Lee, who was on the 23rd of February in 1885. He was actually found guilty of the murder of his boss. She was a wealthy lady, and he was one of her employees, and she was died in mysterious circumstances. So they used circumstantial evidence to convict him of killing her. But he was very lucky.
He was, because he was sent to the gallows on the 23rd of February. The noose was placed around his neck and the lever pulled, but the trapdoor didn't open. The equipment was tested several times, pronounced functional, and Lee again took his place on the trapdoor, which again didn't open. So after this happened the third time, Lee was returned to prison. You know, three strikes and you're out.
Well, yeah, well, three saves
and you're, yeah,
you're in.
That'd be like going onto the electric chair during power shortages.
Yes.
Or you can go free, we can't afford to electrocute you.
But Lee's death sentence was commuted to life imprisonment because of this apparent act of God.
Yeah, and he was finally released and he married his childhood sweetheart and they came to live in Australia.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I think that was it. I remember it.
I've never heard of that one before.
Emigrated to America. Sorry, it wasn't America. Australia went to America.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh,
well, I have something way more interesting.
But he always insisted it was an act of God.
Yeah.
It was not. It was nothing to do with that.
Well, he was dyslexic. He said it was an act of dog.
Yes, in dog we trust.
But on The Simpsons,
yes,
they had a flashback to the time when they were hanging people. And Chief Wiggum, because he's such a nice guy, he put magazines in the bucket underneath where your head would fall. He said, you stay alive for about 5 seconds after we chuck your head up. So there's something to read.
There you go, Nina. Happy birthday. There's your third one for the day.
Oh, dear, that's too much. But other people manufacture their own luck. There was a fellow born on the 28th... Not born, he was freed in New South Wales on the 28th of February, 1790. He was born around 1760, but he came to the penal colony of New South Wales with the First Fleet after being sentenced for stealing a silver cup. And he was sent out on one of these
I'm going to make Tristan
prison
laugh.
Ships. Yes.
What sort of colony was it?
No.
Penal colony.
It was a penal colony. So weren't girls allowed?
Now you got me laughing. Well, this John Irving, who was transported, was actually, he proved himself to be an able surgeon's assistant, and both on the voyage out and then once in the settlement. His hard work and unremitting good conduct and meritorious behaviour earned him an early reprieve from his sentence. Governor Phillips signed his warrant of emancipation, and he, by that, was the first convict to be freed. So... Yeah. That was his tool of trade that he brought with him, and he practiced that until he passed on.
But he went to Norfolk Island with the doctor, and he stayed on Norfolk Island for about 3 years. And when he came as a surgeon assistant, when he came back to Australia again, back to New South Wales, they gave him 30 acres of land in Parramatta. Now, if their family have still got that, they're multi-millionaires.
Oh, yes.
All that for mopping up blood.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's good luck and there's bad luck and there's all sorts of luck.
We had a message from Joe.
Oh, yes.
Our Joe. Hi, guys. Sorry I couldn't be there today to take over from you, but I'm filming Family Feud today. But great to hear you driving there. No.
Oh, thank you.
Is he going to be with a family? They're going to be feuding.
There are a lot of gay and lesbian couples compete on that show.
Oh, do they?
And it's filmed in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the contestants from all over Australia. And I think it's never highlighted. Oh, look, there's a gay couple or anything. They're just there as normal everyday Australians.
Well, we are normal everyday Australians, excuse me.
Well, I am.
I am. I might
Chris.
Be.
Chris. Not hearing anything from Chris.
All right. Yes, I am.
Would we like some music?
Well, we've got Rhonda, not Rhonda, is it, we've got a Rhonda Birchmore song, haven't we?
Oh, well, the song that she has been known to sing, I think.
I think, yes.
Yes, I'm sure she does it in her act.
No, it was from Annie. Oh, no, it was Little Orphan Annie herself that sang the song. But she's fully dressed without a smile.
And it reminded us of Trevor when he was doing Annie. Yeah.
You're on, George.
Our performer today is confusing in that she calls herself Sia, but you can't see her.
Behind that shock of
the stupid wig. Anyway, let's have a listen.
You're on, Joy.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're with Chris, Gordon, Phil, Tristan. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. Oh, almost to the end of the show. We've got about another 15 minutes left.
Yeah. Round about this time many, many years ago, that a Dutch man landed on the shores of Australia and didn't know it because he thought he was landing in New Guinea.
Willem Janszoon.
Called Willem Jans. They took the oon off him.
Yeah, yeah. But this was back in February the 26th, 1606.
Yeah.
Who was there to record the event, I wonder?
I think he wrote it in his log, a bit of a log.
Yes, fair enough. Yeah. But what did he do?
Well, he was. Feed me these lines. It's not fair. Carry on, sir. It wasn't a penal colony at that time, I can tell you.
No, it wasn't. That right. He worked for the Dutch East India Company. He had been out to around the area because they were up in Indonesia.
Now, the Dutch East India Company sort of indicates to me, and I think I'm correct in when I say this, that Holland or the Dutch actually had explored parts of the world and set up trading links using the resources that they found in these various places.
Well,
they found all the spices in the Spice Islands.
The Spice Islands.
And they shipped them back to Europe, who didn't have any of these sort of things.
No, not at all.
They had a presence in Manhattan at some point.
Well, they owned New York.
Well, that would be a presence, owning the place.
Peter Stuyvesant was the fellow that owned New York.
Which is nothing to smoke at.
Yeah, yeah. He owned that, and then the British beat him, had a fight over. That's another story. But the Dutch were very, very great explorers and travellers and great merchants because they went all over the world forming little colonies and everything, and they were mainly in Indonesia was where their big thing was. And they were in Indonesia right up until Sukarno. Turf them out. So they were there for a long, long time. But this Mr. Jens, he thought he was in... He'd been to New Guinea, what turned out to be New Guinea, and he'd come down into the Gulf of Carpentaria, and he didn't realise that there was the Torres Strait between them, and he thought he was still in New Guinea when he came down into the Gulf of Carpentaria. And
maps at the time were somewhat unreliable.
Yeah, well, they had
of Australia.
They were drawing them as they were going, you know. Yeah. So, but he was the very first man to first step foot on Australian soil.
Yeah, in the at the Pennefather River, near where the Queensland town of Weipa now stands, on the western shore of Cape York Peninsula,
and many
crocodile country, I would imagine.
Many, many, many years later, the Dutch East India Company discovered the Spice Girls.
Did they?
They did. Their last spice effort.
Oh, good. Okay. But the British had to show it to them.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. But then, of course, he went back to Europe, and those people became quite rich with all that thing. And, of course, then a little...
Well, of course, the story of him being out in Australia in those early years was before Australia was called Australia.
Yeah.
It was part of folk history. It was the stories that were told at the knees of your grandparents, yes, whatever.
But they were called New Holland.
Oh, yeah.
We were called New Holland. That was what we were called.
Definitely. Hmm. But the Dutch were disinclined to colonise Australia, I suppose because the bit that they saw... Was the worst bit, and they weren't particularly impressed.
It didn't even have postcards.
Well, they didn't, certainly, and they didn't have spices there.
And the big banana wasn't built.
No.
None of those sort of things.
Nothing to make you want to come back.
No, true. Tourism was nothing.
But the first European settlement occurred...
With the arrival
with
of
the convicts from the first fleet.
To the penal colony, as Will was talking about before.
Apparently, however, the first prisoners in Australia were Dutch seamen, Werther Loos and Jan Pellegrims.
They were on the west coast of Australia. They were up near Dirk Hartog Island, up in the northwest.
Dirk Hartog Island? Yeah, that's another Dutch name.
Yeah, but he was one of the first people that ran ashore. They kept bumping into Australia. They didn't sail around it.
No.
They had shipwrecks, of course.
But these two guys were dumped.
Yeah,
on the mainland of Australia.
Right. That's right.
Because they'd murdered a couple of passengers on the wrecked ship Batavia.
Yep.
So really, in fact, there was European life on Australia.
You can see the a part of the Batavia, the boat. It's in the Fremantle Maritime Museum. Actually, they found it up there and they dug it out and they brought it back down and they put it in the museum.
But between 1629, when this guy they dumped the first guys, and 1727, about 300 Dutch passengers and crews linked to the Dutch East India Company occupied parts of WA as a result of many shipwrecks which occurred off the coast.
That's right. And, as I said, they kept bumping into it.
Yeah.
Rather than sail around it. Oh, and they, God, we've got everything.
There was no return boats or anything. They
that's
couldn't
right.
fix it up. So.
But they did get off because they were able to get into other smaller boats and go back up to Batavia,
yes.
which was Indonesia at the time.
But there was a bit of a sneaky story getting on that there was a lost tribe. Oh. Can you imagine? A lost tribe of Dutchmen in the middle of Australia somewhere.
I don't think they would have survived, actually. Where they were supposed to have been, they couldn't have. An English newspaper started this rumour. They said that they would be there. The English newspaper, the Leeds Mercury, reported that a secret expedition to Australia has located a large settlement of descendants of Dutch survivors from shipwrecks in the late 1600s. And they went to a place called Palm Olive. Yeah, Palm
You're
Olive.
You're soaking
yeah.
in it.
They went there. Palm Valley, in Palm Valley, it's in the centre of Australia. They would never have even got as far as the centre of Australia.
Well, it could be the same newspaper.
1,500 kilometres away.
Yeah.
But we've had newspaper reports of an image of Elvis Presley on Mars.
Yeah, I've seen him on toast.
I've seen him at the local 7-Eleven buying hamburgers.
But it was proved to be a complete and utter false story.
Oh, course, yeah. These stories get a life of their own and start off with a small little art concept and then away they go like a bushfire.
Might have been created in a Dutch oven.
Yes, it could have been too.
You never know.
Yeah. Have you ever cooked in a Dutch oven?
No, but I steam a lot.
I have. They're good. Get good food out of them.
Good for your dumplings.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. But Australia's an amazing country when you think about it, you know. And I see in the paper the other day they've just found some more Aboriginal art that they are saying is at least 50,000 years old.
Whoa. Where did they find... I missed that story.
In the Northern Territory.
You'd think they get some fresh stuff. Like open a gallery and, you know, have something a bit new.
They didn't have textures in those days.
Yeah, they could be much more...
They had to get yellow ochre and a bit of white ochre. Yeah, and
a bit like wine. They go into all this trouble selling you the old stuff, but haven't you got something fresh?
Oh. Thank you, Phil. Yes, well...
I'm going to give you a minute to talk.
Are you?
No, maybe two.
Oh, somebody said White Knight's thoughts, gentlemen.
Well,
we've already discussed White Knight's.
We had dark feelings about it.
I had a dark night because I went to bed. I don't know what he's... yes.
He might have come... He might have seen you and turned white and come into town.
No, not at all.
No.
But it was apparently quite good for those that enjoyed it and not too good for those that didn't enjoy it.
But the crowds were up on last year and Flinders Street was not illuminated so as not to cause congestion around
That's
the station.
Right. Yes. Well, the Flinders Street was illuminated, but the Flinders Street itself wasn't. The station was illuminated, but not the rest
but
of
not
the street.
Projection.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Well, we will learn by our mistakes. That's always the way of the world.
Yeah, but they had last year they seemed to have much more light. It seemed to be much lighter because they had lit up Flinders Street.
Well,
so how many homes could we have powered with the light that was shone?
Well, we've now got Earth Day coming up, haven't we, where they turn off all the lights.
Well, they kind of cancel each other out.
They cancel each other out,
good,
yeah. We turn off everything to make sure we haven't used up too much power. I want to know where the solar power is for all those lights.
Or the batteries, more importantly.
Or where does solar power go at night?
Oh,
into the
well,
battery.
There's a thought.
It's a bit like occasional furniture.
Yeah.
What is it the rest of
somebody
the
time? Says, yeah, Moomba on speed.
thanks a lot.
Thank you
for being with us today.
We've enjoyed it. I hope you have.
Same time next week for more of the same.
Yeah. This is I think we'll have to rechristen this the comedy hour or something or other.
Well, that's just not funny.
I've told you a million times before not to exaggerate.
That's a billion times. And you never said it.
Thanks indeed for being with us. Stay tuned. There's much more coming up afterwards in Melbourne's most uplifting music mix.
Warren's down there. Warren's down there. He's sitting in today, yes.
Excellent.
Just gave me a wave through
the
windows.
Bye for now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.